So we have been digging into the book of Daniel, looking at what it might have meant for God's people to survive and to thrive in Babylon. We know that Daniel and a number of the Israelites were stuck exiled. They were exiled in Babylon, a culture that was not friendly to the beliefs and practices of God's people. And their story has something to tell us about how we can really live as God's people today. The book of Daniel, it's really a gift for us who still seek to be God's people in our world today. Our scripture story this week is about Daniel in the lion's den. It's one of the more familiar stories in the Bible, and it's from the book of Daniel, chapter 6. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? And the king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. There was a first grader who was asked to make a speech in class about what he wanted to be when he grew up. And he stood in front of his class and he said, when I grow up, I want to be a lion tamer and have lots and lots of fierce lions. And I'll walk into the cage and they'll roar. And suddenly it occurred to him what he was saying. And he stopped, and he said, but of course, my mommy will be there with me. It is, I think, the children's storybook version of Daniel in the lion's den that makes it seem like a nice little story about him sleeping peacefully among some big, cute, and cuddly cats. And yes, the lion's den, the lion's mouths, they were shut that night. And Daniel survived, and it was a miracle. But there is a little something more, just a little something more in this story for us, I think. Daniel was a man of integrity. His unimpeachable character earned him a degree of respect in the kingdom. He was loved and respected by even the king, though his co-workers were somewhat less inclined to offer respect, and jealousy took hold. And so they began, as we read, looking for grounds for complaint or any corruption on his part. And of course they found none, and so they had to attack his faith. And they went to the king and convinced him to establish this ordinance that for 30 days, whoever prays to anyone except to the king shall be thrown into the den of lions. And so it was. Daniel was stuck in this foreign land, completely immersed in the Babylonian culture. By this time, Daniel had actually been there for decades. The ruling powers had changed over twice, and he was probably by now about 80 years old when this story took place. And so he was now well-versed in living in this world and not of it. He would practice his faith faithfully, despite whatever else was going on in the world, whatever harm it may bring him. Daniel was a person faithfully committed to a life of unceasing discipline, a man of real spiritual integrity. He was a good man. It's hard to find, they say. We live in a culture today that doesn't always encourage or reward right behavior. It doesn't always make a lot of room for us to be spiritually maturing, faithful people. Unceasing spiritual discipline is not on everybody's to-do list. It's not on the top of the list. I read one pastor suggest that perhaps more than at any time in history, there seems to be a famine of character, of integrity. And we need examples of people who say what they mean and then live it out. And we learn something about Daniel's character as we read this story, about his faith, his lifestyle. He has something to teach us about living and thriving in this world of ours, how we might prepare for our own troubling times in life, our own den of lions, whatever that may be. These lion's den moments in our lives are not as uncommon as they may seem. Those times when life just doesn't go the way you planned. When a relationship starts to fall apart. When your career hopes go up in flames and the money is running out. When your fears seem big and faith seems small. How in the midst of these moments do we stand up and face life head on? The preacher T.D. Jakes, he said that he asked the question, can God trust you with trouble? Can God trust you with trouble? And his suggestion is that if God can't trust us with trouble, then he really can't trust us with life, he said. Because one thing is for sure, life is full of trouble. It was Daniel's practice to pray three times a day. He'd slip away and up into his little spot in his room and down onto his now 80-year-old knees to pray. We should all have this little spot of our own. Maybe it's your living room chair. Maybe it's at your kitchen table with your cup of coffee. We should have our little spot that we turn to God in prayer. Three times a day, this was his practice. This is what he did, and he was not going to change that for anybody. This was his unceasing spiritual discipline. I think about the small things that can get in the way of our spiritual plans, the things, little things that can distract us. And yet it was three times a day for Daniel, even in the face of the lion's den. Martin Luther used to begin each day with 2 or 3 hours of prayer. And he also got massive amounts of work done. When he was asked how he could get so much work done while taking so much time to pray, he replied, I couldn't get my work done if I didn't make that time for prayer. He would say, I have so much to do today that I cannot possibly get through it with less than 3 hours of prayer. Perhaps the way that we really thrive in our world today, amidst the pressures of life, the busyness of life, the trouble that comes, is to begin down this path of becoming like Daniel, a person of spiritual integrity, people of prayer. This is a process. It's a process. process of spiritual growth and transformation, I think. 3 times a day, 3 hours a day, it sounds like kind of a lot to me. I don't know about you. Becoming the people we're called to be, it doesn't happen overnight. We have to work for it. The Apostle Paul once wrote to his young apprentice in 1 Timothy, he said, train yourself for godliness. Train yourself. Don't wander through life praying when you feel like it, getting into the scripture when the mood strikes, seeking God only when trouble comes. Train yourself for godliness. John Ortberg says that many times people will say, I want to get to know God better. Or I want to live with real joy. I want to seize life by the throat and experience it to the fullest. But instead of taking action on these hopes and dreams, we end up answering these dreams with if only I weren't so busy. If only things in life weren't so difficult. But if we're going to grow into the people that we want to be, God calls us to be, then we're going to have to move beyond this. Decide for ourselves, we're going to walk with God. We're going to walk with God no matter what we face. We're going to get on with this journey. We have to train ourselves in godliness. And there's a big difference between training ourselves and trying, between training and trying. I myself, I could not run a marathon right now. Could not do it. I know that. Even if I tried really, really hard, I could not do it. But if I started to train, if I started to run so far today and tomorrow, week after week, for months, then maybe. We couldn't just sit down in front of a great big grand piano and perform a Bach concerto. But if you practice the scales, if you start learning the chord progressions, if you start to train your mind and your fingers to make music today and tomorrow, then maybe. Learning to live like Daniel, learning to live a life of spiritual integrity, it's at least as difficult as learning to run a marathon, play the piano. Train yourselves in godliness. Begin to look more and more for God's wisdom in the scriptures, to go to God in prayer so we can be the people we want to be, that God calls us to be. I was with a new friend the other day. I was talking with him, and I asked him if he had read this particular book that I thought he might like, and he hadn't, which wasn't a huge surprise, but his response was intriguing to me. He said, I really just read the Bible, almost exclusively read the Bible, he said, every day. And there was a wisdom about him, like that of Daniel, like one who is ready to face life, come what may. There was a pastor who told about going to see a lady in his church who was facing surgery. And went to see her in the hospital, and she'd never been in the hospital before, and the surgery was serious. And the pastor walked in, and she was a nervous wreck, and started crying at the sight of him, and she wanted him to pray for her, and he did. And the pastor noticed. He said he noticed by her bed that there was a stack of magazines. There was People magazine, Us magazine, Glamour, stuff about celebrities and stuff like that. She just had a stack of them there, and she was a wreck. And it occurred to him, there's nothing in that whole stack to help her through this experience. She had no place to dip down into a well and come up with something, a word, a phrase, a thought, an idea, a memory, a person, just empty. Yet how marvelous, he said, how marvelous is the life of the person who, like a wise homemaker, when the berries and the fruits and the vegetables are ripe, puts them away in jars and cans in the cellar. And then when the ground is cold and icy and barren and nothing seems alive, she goes down into the cellar and comes up, and it's May and it's June at her family's table. God is there. How blessed is that person? So how are we preparing for our bitter winters, our dens of lions? Frederick Buechner said that we have only one life. And the choice of how we are going to live it must be our own choice, not one that we let the world make for us. And so let us live the life that God calls us into. Let us learn to be the people that God calls us to be today, tomorrow, always. Amen.